Welcome to Psych Call Shop. I'm Mason. Of course, with the night is the techie with the most is Techie Joe. How are you, darling?
I'm doing well. How are you this evening?
Doing good. Rocking through things, I guess. All right. So, let's rock into
Brenda.
Hello, Miss Brenda. How are you? I hope you're having an enjoyable cup of coffee or tea or something delicious. Hope your day has been good. Be warned, she is being mouthy today. And with her being mouthy, she sometimes gets annoying. So she may get flown.
Hey, it might not be her fault, though.
Yeah, it might not be.
Segwaying.
Uh-huh.
So the sun has emitted its largest X-class flare of the solar cycle as officials warn bursts from massive sunspot. Not done yet. So the giant solar explosions of energy and light aren't over yet. Officials said on Tuesday that the sun just emitted another major solar flare and that it's the strongest one so far in the current solar cycle. The latest flare peaked just before 1 p.m. Eastern Time, NOAA Space Weather Prediction Center said, with an X-class rating of X8.7. X-class solar flares are the strongest of solar flares, which are described by NASA as giant explosions of the sun that send energy, light, and high-speed particles into space. The center said the flare was an R3 or strong flare, meaning it could have caused wide area blackouts of high frequency radio communications for about an hour on the sunlit side of Earth. It may also have caused low frequency navigation signal issues for the same period of time. Flares of this magnitude are not frequent, the center said in its update. Also posting on social media, region 3664, not done yet. The flare came out of the sunspot dubbed 3664. That spot, combined with region 3663, makes up a cluster much larger than Earth, NOAA said last week. And as of last Thursday, 3664 was only continuing to grow and increase in magnetic complexity and has evolved into a higher threat of increased solar flare risk. Two other flares, rated X1.7 and 1.2, also erupted shortly before, although they were also not anticipated to be linked to any major impacts on Earth. So despite the intensity of the flare, officials said there is not yet concern of a coronal mass ejection or large burst of solar plasma and a magnetic field. Those CMEs are what lead to a geomagnetic storm like the rare extreme storm that occurred over the weekend, sending the northern lights to far lower latitudes than normal and causing chaos for GPS systems that farmers rely on at the height of planting season. So that's where we are.
It is. We're still, and this is the weird weather, the weird animals, the weird magnetic field, the weird feelings you're getting, the weird energy you may be having or not having. Yeah, this is all connected to your own magnetic sphere or your own magnetic energy.
Yeah, so we were talking a little bit about that. So remind us again, what does that mean for our different signs?
Well, you know, you got to look at where it's at. It's hitting the area of, ouch. Sorry, she's being mean. We're in, let me see where the sun's located at today.
Okay.
All right, so we are still in, we're in the middle of Taurus. So this is stability, this is focus. So this is getting a kind of a retrograde feeling. So it's going to be kind of focusing on finances for your Aries, focusing on your own self, depending on where it's hitting in your chart. What is in your Taurus chart? Where is your Taurus energy? It's all going to be hitting there very hard. You're going to have to deal with some different things. Now, with the magnetic sphere being off, there's going to be personality traits. There's going to be different energies hitting there. Some grounding, some not.
Mm-hmm. So, but I think we were also talking about, like, your sun signs are all going to be kind of, woo!
Ooh, yes. Yes.
Woo! Extra crispy. Extra crispy.
Yes. All of us are extra crispy. Your Aries are under caffeinated and, you know, going, what the hell is going on? Your Tauruses are all over the damn place. Your Geminis are feeling uncommunicative. They're not really focusing on things. Your Virgos are really focused on self and community. And, you know, they may not be all steady. They'll be popping up with new things. Virgo. Libras, you're going to be trying to get your balance. Your Scorpios and your Sagittarius, be checking on them. We've already talked about them. They're already having it hard. Now we got this solar stuff going on. It's going to make them even harder. Capricorns, you're going to be overly emotional. Your Aquarians, moody, and your Pisceans, that heightened energy of this will probably be very manic energy.
Okay. So I figured that was important for the psychic coffee shop is like, what's the deal? Like, this is a cool science and astronomy phenomenon, which everyone loves, but then there's an astrological component. So it was like, let's talk about that. Cause I don't,
but then you've got to like dig deeper. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let me grab your wheel.
Guinea pig. Oh, goodness.
Benefit of being the psychic's husband.
You know? Oh, poor mouthy kitty.
Yes. Not exactly sure what she wants.
All the things. World domination, some kitty treats, a sexual liaison outdoors. Mm-mm. She's a cat. How many things could she want?
She wants probably her daddy right now.
Well, yeah, probably that. That could be useful.
Yeah, because it is 8 o'clock and she expects him home.
She does.
Go away, Windows. All righty. We have Joe's chart. Now, Joe currently has nothing natally in his fourth house, which is ruled by Taurus. Mm-hmm. So that's all well, fine, good. But let's say he had a planet in there. Let's, you know, bounce over here. Saturn is in his 10th house. Mm-hmm. Let's say it was in his fourth house. Well, he's going to be extra, you know, it's 9 o'clock. It's 9 o'clock. You got to do X, Y, and Z. He's going to be very hard on himself, his self-image, his self-expression. So you've got to look at what is not only hitting in this house, the fourth house, but what's echoing in his 10th house.
Ah, very cool. Very cool. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, that's the complexity, new doubling into the layers. So, all right.
Cool. So now, is anyone offering your, you know, solar cycle 25 astrology report? Like, or is anyone doing that? I'm asking you a question that I don't actually know the answer to. So this
I don't believe so, because they cannot predict. It's like trying to do an astrological chart for this, for the thunderstorms hitting Earth.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm not looking to predict the events themselves, like each coronal or flare situation. But just like a report that like tells people like this is what's going on each time you see those things based on your unique chart. Because like you just sat there and did it and was like, okay,
well, right,
you know, this is what's going to magnify and this is what's going to go up. So
right. Not that I know of.
Did I just
you may have created a product. Now I got to figure out how to actually make it. Like, that's more of an astrological consulting situation. Because it's not total, like, it's not a report. You know, it's sitting down and looking deeper into the chart and going, okay, so if the, if we are in, and I think it's with it being, I think we're at 58 degrees Taurus today. Let me see what degrees we are. Stop.
I'm starting to feel like we all, though, want another product, which is an I Survive Solar Cycle 25.
Right.
Like, let's start Solar Cycle 26, and then we can create the shirt. Like, I don't want
to... Okay, I was off.
Oh, you were off.
Yeah, we're probably around the 20th degree of Taurus.
Oh, wow. Yeah, a little
off. So that... A little off. That can create, you know, that really determines about where things hit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, you know, it's going to very hyperly focus on different things. But now, as far as I know, other than, like, private consultations, no one's looking at this and putting out an article that says, if this is this, then this is this. Because everybody's chart is independent and, you know, you have to learn where those are.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, because it does make differences with, like, that's just one of your signs, and mm-hmm. then you have, like, your ascending and your...
Right. And it makes... And it matters because, like, your fourth house is controlled, is owned by Taurus.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on who's in your house. You know, you'd have to progress the chart there. It depends on what it's talking to and if it's talking to anybody. On how it's going to directly approach you.
Okay, so basically it would be a solar transit report of some variety, like a solar mm-hmm. flare transit report.
Solar progressive transit report.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. All right. So at least now we've told people what to ask for when they talk to their astrologer.
Right.
Like, not that sun flare thingy, but I don't know. Does that help? If everyone calls up their astrologer and says, hi, I want that sun flare thingy, they're like, no, you don't. And
you're going to go, well, it depends on your astrologer, truly. And this is what I mean by that, because like a lot of new astrologers can't read unless it's in the system. Like they can't read just the wheel.
Which this isn't going to be in the system. This is...
Right.
I mean, there's a general sun effect, but then there's going to be like, no, this is some very specific things and you need to know what's going to get combed up.
Right.
Because that's basically what this is doing. This is 80s tease the hair. Take right. these certain elements in your chart and like tease them to Jesus.
Uh-huh.
Because they're going to go high.
Right. You know, and then, you know, and a lot of astrology is based off of pattern behavior where you can't pattern a storm.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly. Like this is each one's different. Each storm's different.
Right.
But as like a general, like, okay, we're having flares, we're having coronal mass ejections, it's this general window of time.
Right.
What's gonna get turned, like what's gonna get the heat turned on?
Right.
And just like you know, what's gonna sizzle?
Right. But, like, if your chart, you have to take your chart, you have to take your natal and your progressive, combine them, and look at what is in your Taurus house today.
Yeah.
And then look at what it's reflective to, because reflective astrology is a whole different art form of looking at what's going on and then going back and going, okay, well, if that's going on, this is going on, well, it's got to be this.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Like, what's the soup?
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
I was just interested if, like, someone were... I mean, I know there's a lot of, like, hype and emphasis placed on various, like, seemingly trivial events. Like, it's the only time it ever happens. And it's like, yeah, it happens every, like, 4 years. It happens every 6 years. Like, and it's not that big a deal. I was just wondering if this was going to start or had already gotten the treatment that we see happen frequently in, like, the psychic news world, where it's, like, where you start seeing... not necessarily predictions, but like during this, you know, once in a lifetime event, this is what you should worry about. Like, it's the end of the world.
No, it's not the end of the world. But Brenda brings up, like, mine says my son is in Taurus today. That doesn't sound fun. And that's the first lens is which house is is the sun in? Well, we know the sun is in Taurus. Well, who in your chart owns the house of Taurus? Mm-hmm. You know, so, what house does Taurus own? Like, yours is the fourth house, so that's home and domestic things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's so, why you've been, like, crabby all day.
Well, so basically, I'm at a high likelihood of, all right, let's all get in the car. I'm going to drive in this lake.
Yes.
Okay. Not to make light of an actual news story that occurred, but, like, I don't know. Maybe someone wants to go back and track that. Because, I've been extra.
Yeah. Yeah. You've been crispy all morning.
Yes.
Yeah. And, like, not having place and time, these things all occur there. These things all get tangled into your fourth house of domestication. And maternal figures, and, you know.
And speaking of, like you were saying, that it's like a retrograde, I've been kind of home feral.
Right.
Like, I'm ready to pee on the carpet and rip apart the couch.
I gotta find a newspaper.
There you go.
Okay. But no, like, and if you would like me to look at this, yes, you can do that during your appointment. However, I do request that you go ahead and, like, send me your, let's save some time, send me your full birth name, your birthplace, your birth time, so I can pull your chart up and we can take a deeper inspection in there.
Alrighty, spray bottle, Asin, LOL, says Brenda. Alrighty. So do you want me, you were saying send that to, that's what clients
ahead need? Of your appointment. If you want me to look at this.
So book your appointment.
Mm-hmm.
He can do it. He just needs the data ahead of time so he can go ahead and run the report and take a look at it. So you get the most bang for your buck out of the appointment. And it's not like 5 minutes of putting the chart together to then hurriedly get that last 10 minutes in.
Right, and actually be able to look at what's going on. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's move to psychic in the news, because this one's kind of interesting.
We have a psychic in the news?
Yes,
K945. Ready? Oh, there we go. Got it now. Give me a second. So Louisiana women asked psychic's help to find mother, mystery remains. Two women from Louisiana say they fear they will never know what really happened to their mother. According to an investigative report by KNOE, death and grief are horrible, and it's even tougher when it's your parent. The two women say their mother, 56-year-old Teresa Jones, was reported missing on February 2nd, 2023. The daughters say they immediately started looking for their mother and they were not able to find anything. The Union Parish Sheriff's Office did send out canines to try to locate the woman. No one was able to find Teresa Jones, so her oldest daughter, Ashley Deese, along with other family members, were desperate to know the woman's location. It was 2 days after her mother's disappearance when Deese decided to consult someone she had heard about who was successful in helping people find their loved ones. Deese and her sister, Brittany, called psychic medium Carolyn Clapper, a woman they say has successfully helped others. Deese says Clapper gave them plenty of information, and she was able to locate the body of her mother not far from her home. Deese says the psychic who helped them helped them pro bono, told her the woman would be found face down in a creek, and Jones' body was found in Edmonds Creek. Dee says Clapper's information gave her step-by-step instructions on where the body would be, and the information proved true. She pleaded with officials at the sheriff's office to contact Clapper to hear what else she had to say. Dee says Clapper has more to say. Captain Mike Bryan never did contact Clapper, and Union Parish Sheriff Dusty Gates says they wouldn't have interviewed the woman, as he did interview a psychic before in another matter who was wrong. He added he doesn't believe in psychic mediums. Dee says she believes more should have been done in her mother's case. She says while the woman's body was found face down with only a shirt on, no fingernail clippings or rape kit was done on Jones. A retired detective from Texas, Greg Lawson, who doesn't have any connection to the case, says he believes so much more could have been done with this case. He questions why a sample of the water wasn't taken to confirm the woman drowned there, why they didn't figure out how the woman's body got to that location, why was no search conducted for the rest of the woman's clothes, why was there no rape kit done or fingernail sample collected. Other law enforcement officials contacted by KNOE and asked about this case have questions as well. Why was there no estimated time of death on the autopsy report? Why was no rape kit done? Why were no fingernail scrapings taken? Why did investigators not investigate to determine if Teresa was alone when she died? Dee says something she found really out of character for her mother was the condition of her home after no one had seen her. Dee says her mother was meticulously neat and the home was in
complete disarray. Other law enforcement professionals aren't the only people asking questions, as the daughters have similar questions. Dee says she believes the autopsy report shows drugs in Jones's system led to them to discount the outstanding issues in the case. In addition, Dee says her mother's drugs abuse was 20 years earlier impacted how the case was treated. She says they didn't investigate the case thoroughly and dropped the ball. Denise says her mother's death was ruled an accidental drowning, and her autopsy report did show a large amount of morphine in her body.
So the case was closed last year. They had no new information and no new leads. Dee claims the autopsy photos show her mother's body had three bruises made by fingerprints on her upper right arm, which could have only happened before her death, even though she says investigators told her it happened when they moved her body. So, of course, there's an autopsy photo. What remains for Ashley and Brittany Deese are questions along with suspicions that many more things could have been done to conclusively prove that Jones died from an accidental drowning. To hear from, so there's another report. Interesting. So yay for the psychic helping them locate their mother's body and not, living forever.
Right.
That bit of
I just can't believe the bumbling. Okay.
Yeah, it's
my
very,
problem.
It sounds like a very horribly handled case. Like,
right.
They basically heard missing woman in her 50s, not really interested, not really capable, not really wanting to do anything.
Right.
Took the tip when it came in, or I'm assuming they did, located the body, packed it up, and called it a day.
Right.
accidental drowning. Don't know what happened. She used to be a drug addict. We don't care. Oh, look, she was high at the time. Not necessarily questioning, okay, was that seemingly out of character for her?
Right.
Because if her drug abuse had ended 20 years ago, either this is a significant relapse, or would indicate something went wrong.
Right.
Especially with a house in disarray, which again, if you know this was a significant relapse, might have been part of it. Isn't really like there's no effort being made to answer the questions.
No.
I hate this for this family. I hate that her daughters are going to be left with this and that it's effectively so screwed up, like the likelihood you're going to get real answers.
Right.
Now, what did you think about the refusal to work with the psychic?
Highly common.
Well, highly common, but is that the most common reason why?
No, I think that there's something wrong with this case.
Okay. Like it's been bumbled every which way possible.
It's been bumbled so bad. I don't think they'll ever get justice. It's been bumbled so bad. I've not seen cases this badly misheld. Refusing to work with a psychic. I think that's probably because the psychic probably has something they don't want to hear.
Yeah. Well, and I'm looking at the map in this case, mm-hmm. where between where her home was and where her body was found.
Right.
I know it's February. I'm sure it's cold. Doesn't look like this would have been a very big search.
No.
You know what I mean? Like if you had started in February on you know, when she went missing within like 24, 48, 72 hours with a pretty decent sized group on a grid search, doesn't look like it would have taken long to have found her.
Well, most likely not. And this, to me, looking at this map, does not look... Now, I need to blow this up. Okay, open image and new tab. That's a car drive and a walkover, according to the satellite map.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's all that bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one, it's reasonable that she could have walked from her home.
Right.
Like, I don't know that. Well, I'm just saying, like, comparative to the distance and the scale of this map, like, it's... not an unreasonable walk. Would have hoped someone wouldn't have made the walk, you know, randomly half naked. But it also, again, this is still so close to her home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if she decided to fully dressed, go for a little nature hike. Yeah. She may have found herself in trouble.
Right.
Like there were other people on that road that day or on that, right. You know, in that forested area that day. Right. Again, there's a lot of ways this could have all occurred. Right. Though I doubt, and forgive me, cause I just don't know. And I don't necessarily expect you to either. But just a general posed question, is it normal for, because it was methamphetamine that was found in her system, is it normal for people on methamphetamines to just like, I'm going to go for a hike?
No.
Like, that seems a little weird. Like, if you told me she was, you know, had a crap ton of marijuana in her system... I can understand going for a random hike in the woods that turns perilous.
Right.
Like, I could follow the bouncy ball on that. But I didn't think meth was one of those drugs that, like, made you like, ooh, let's go for a hike.
No. Like, not only that, but really quite, like, Anyway, I'm biting my tongue on some things here. I have seen cases go bullshitting before.
Okay.
And this is why I have so many protocols involved. But I give it to Carolyn. Like, you done good, girl. You done good. I find it really bad that the cops won't even talk. Hear me, you know, just hear. And what I normally say is just hear me out. Take what I give you, use it.
Yeah. Well, and it doesn't seem like there's any intent to solve this one. Like, right. No one wants to solve this one. They're very happy, you know, with a nice little buttoned up box that says, accidental drowning. Don't know what happened. Don't know why she did that. Guess it was drugs.
Right.
Next.
20 years?
Yeah, 20 years of sobriety gone in one night that ends in a death by misadventure.
Yeah, see, and if I've got the right Edmunds Creek here, which I feel I do, yep, there's Shepherd's Road.
Yeah. Or Stevenson Road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's less than... See, what's her scale at? Give me some layers.
Like, it's
like that's not even a mile into the woods. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't call it, it's wooded, but.
And apparently, I mean, that's what I was saying. The road
that goes through here, because I see a bridge. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a car thing involved. So, where's the vehicle? Like, I have so many questions about this report. I have so many questions about this case. I've not been consulted on it. I would not report on it if I had been consulted on it. I think it's very brave of Carol to come out and say that she was involved. Because this opens a slew of situations for her. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, she's in Wisconsin. So, there, you know, there is travel involved there.
But still, it's a very messed up situation.
Yeah, situation.
Like, just the death itself is a messed up situation. Right. Like, you could yeet the psychic out of the story. It's still a horrific situation and a horrible mismanagement and bumbling.
Well, what I don't understand is, why is it this person has left, I will give them 5 miles. Let's say the map is seriously long, 5 miles.
Yeah.
Why is it that they couldn't find her within 5 miles near a body of water? Because, okay, most bodies end up in one of three places. Buried in a yard, in water, or stuck up, in, like, you know, on rare occasions, they're stuck up in a tree. And not be easily seen.
Right.
What the hell?
I mean, I mean, there's statistics for that. But again, you would think that, like, this isn't like she was 50 miles from home in a random place she'd never been to before.
Right.
I mean, ostensibly assuming, like, she's never been here. Right. Like, I could see this as potentially she went for a hike. I could see this as potentially someone who lived nearby, something went wrong. Like, I could see a lot of different things happening here, but this is all the last place you knew she was.
Right.
Was her home.
You and don't it's tore have... apart. Looking at the pictures, it's tore apart.
Yeah. Well, what I mean is you know, like, she was somewhere around her home was the last place she was known to be. You don't seem to have any evidence that suggested, like, someone called, someone came over.
Right. Like, they didn't even pull those reports.
Would you look around her home? So now I'm wondering, because it sounds like the first 24, 48 hours, they were just assuming... And she's a grown adult. If she wants to go missing, she's allowed to.
Right.
You know, like that general, you know, concept of like, meh, you don't have to tell your kids everything.
Right.
Do you think there was animosity that like day two, the daughters were like, okay, let's contact a psychic?
I think there's animosity because day two, they still weren't doing shit.
Mm-hmm. Because it looks like she went missing, well, she was reported missing on February 2nd.
Right.
And then, yeah, they started looking, they couldn't locate her. And so, like, right, a couple of days later, so I'm figuring the 4th, the 5th, sure, somewhere in there, they've contacted Carolyn Clapper. And they're right, like, okay, help.
Right.
Like, what you got? Do you think that was the point in which investigators were like, we don't deal with the woo-woo people. Like, that's how you want to find your mother. Go fuck yourself.
Right. Right. And, you know, what I find extremely strange,
mm-hmm,
and this is strange for me, because I've been watching the Chad Daybell chase. They can track someone taking a cell phone from one apartment to another apartment. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I know, you know, druggies keep their handles on their cell phones. Like, when was the last contact?
Yeah. Well, like, there's a lot of things that could be investigated, right, there, or you would expect to be investigated there.
Right.
Unless you just start with the premise that, well, guess, right, you know, death by misadventure, we're not going to look, right, too hard.
Right.
Which is a really scary situation to be in.
Right.
Especially for people who live there.
Right.
Because that's usually one of those situations that you had the opportunity, if this, right, was foul play, to stop someone, to investigate, right, this when it's maybe first, second, third case. But how high is the body count going to go?
Right.
Before someone goes, oh, you know, maybe this is like that other case.
Right.
That happened a few years ago.
Right. You know. It's just different. Like.
No. I'm just saying it poses a lot of safety issues for residents of that community, right, when your police department refuses to investigate.
Mm-hmm.
At all. Like to
the case.
Determine.
Right.
Like, I'm not saying we have to Perry Mason it to hell and back.
Right.
I'm just saying, do your basic due diligence and you know, check the boxes. Just check the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
That this all seems out of character for this woman. Her kids are telling you this is out of character for this woman.
Mm-hmm.
You have every evidence from everyone you've at least talked to so far. This ain't normal.
Right.
And who she is. Right. I'm sure police hear a lot of that in every death in which things go wonky and awry. But check the boxes.
Well, not only check the boxes, but pay attention to the boxes. Like, there's multiple things going on here. I'm going to say there's possible foul play. I find it, the autopsy report seems very ho-hum.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm posting this to the Patreon, the longer form article, for you guys to go look at, because there's a whole video and everything. There's just too much mud in this water.
Yeah, this is a very muddy water case.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I've seen lazy sheriffing before. This is beyond that.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
you know, I want to know where the male figure is in this, because there's got to be a male involved. You know, it's interesting to say the least.
And there does seem to be a lot of animosity in the way that, like, all your professionals in it, minus Carolyn, but all your professionals for law enforcement, for forensics, seem to be just kind of, like, not interested. Like, that's someone's mother who is now deceased. I think you could have tried a little more. Just saying, I think you could have tried a little more. Like, try to get some answers, try to give them some closure, try to find the body. But again, doesn't look like it would have been a massively crazy search to undertake.
You know, but I think it's very telling or clear that you said no. I'll do this pro bono. Okay. You know, this is, that's standardly how it's handled.
Yeah. Because otherwise you're a tragedy chaser.
Exactly.
I mean, to just put the nail or the hammer on the nail of the head or the head of the nail is, you know, a lot of people come out of the woodworks and offer their services for high dollar fees, trying to get 15 minutes of fame, going with basic guesses. You'll be found within so far of home. You'll be found near a body of water. You will, you know. And I can understand if that's who the sheriff dealt with previously. That's a very aggravating, frustrating. Like, you really want to lock those people up because you're exploiting a tragedy. Whereas this is someone that the family contacted. Look, I'm not charging for this. Don't even. It's not about that. And then legitimately handed them. This is where she's at. This is, you know, what's going on.
Now, so, I popped over just because I wanted to see what Clapper was doing. That's what she's not doing. And I find it
advertising notes.
Exactly. Not one word.
Not like this is entirely word of mouth.
Well, like, no, like, she's not putting it on her pages. She's not sharing it anywhere. Checking her Facebook. She did share the article 6 days ago on her Facebook. But I figure that's because of the family's pushing for the share.
I mean, use your platform. Well, no one else is trying to figure out what happened to this woman. Use your platform. I mean, in some instances, if there's anything left to be done to help this family, at this point, the only way that's going to happen is if they feel heat and pressure. To go actually do your job. Like, you're not even checking the boxes on the form that would let you reasonably conclude that this was an accidental death. Like, nothing you've done helps to click those boxes. You're acting like it was a foredrawn conclusion. This, like, you started, she just wandered away from home. Oh, look, dead old lady. Like, guess she's just crazy.
Oh, she's got mental illness and she has a drug habit. 20 years ago. Might I remind you, 20 years ago.
Like, and it's not like they got a, I'm assuming, a talk screen back that, like, 5 minutes later that told them, okay, so she's high as a fucking kite. Like, work the case till you have answers. Don't just...
Do some due diligence. And don't tell me you can't. Like, you know, the Charles Daybell case has really opened my eyes on the ability of our police now to actually put some damn work into it.
Yeah. Like there are a lot of tools. There are a lot of things. You know, and again, in like if you do a retrospective, the way that we end up with serial killers, the way we end up with these ancient cold cases suddenly getting answers, has a lot in some instances to do with no one did the things at the time they were supposed to have done.
Right.
I mean, sometimes it's that the science evolves. Sometimes it's someone finally gets a guilty conscience. Sometimes, you know, it's like we discover a body, we discover a gun, we discover a whatever.
Right.
But a lot of it, when you start looking backwards, it's
right.
No one did the things at the time. You made an assumption, you ran with the assumption, you proved your assumption as far as you needed to make yourself happy, and you phoned it in.
Right.
We have a high clearance rate.
Exactly.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
No, you don't. You didn't do the work. You just checked the easy box. Accident. Well,
they didn't even do the basics. Like, there's no rape kit. There's a blood draw and toxic screening report, but there's no anything else.
Again, you started with this is an old this is a woman that I'm sure popped in a system somewhere with priors,
right?
And they went, we're not interested.
Right.
If we find her, we find her. If we don't, we don't.
Right.
You know, this isn't a pretty, you know, missing 18-year-old valedictorian.
Right.
I don't know. I just have this hope that we could all ever hope to aspire.
Right.
To be looked for as hard as a pretty 18-year-old valedictorian.
Right. Exactly. You know, and like there's a lot of problems in Louisiana police work.
Yes. So speaking of pretty girls.
Yes.
Fallout continues from the Miss USA resignations as a runner-up declines the crown. So days after a pair of resignations rocked the pageant world, organizers have found a successor for Miss USA, but appear to be struggling to do the same for Miss Teen USA. Miss USA Noella Voigt and Miss Teen USA Uma Sofia Saravastava, who were both crowned in 2023, announced their early departures 2 days apart last week. So Miss Teen USA said her personal values no longer fully align with the direction of the organization, while Miss USA cited mental health reasons in a statement whose first letters of every sentence spelled "I am silenced." A longer resignation letter from Miss USA obtained by the New York Times and NBC News accuses the Miss USA organization of a toxic work environment that at best is poor management and at worst is bullying and harassment. Social media director Claudia Michelle also resigned right before the two, disavowing workplace toxicity and bullying in a public statement of her own, in which she noted she was not bound by any non-disclosure agreement. Miss Colorado, Ariana Lemus, resigned in solidarity on Friday, writing that Miss Teen USA and Miss USA that their voices have been stifled by the constraints of a contract that undermines their rights and dignity, and calling for urgent reform within Miss USA. The slew of departures and criticisms have refocused the spotlight on the organization, raising questions about its treatment of its two biggest title holders and practices in general. The organization wished Voigt and Saravastava well in public Instagram posts, but has not responded to NPR's request for comment, even as the fallout from their resignations has continued. In the latest twist, the runner-up from last year's Miss Teen USA competition says she has turned down the offer to succeed Sarah Bastaba. Miss New York Teen USA, Stephanie Skinner, a student at UPenn, wrote on Instagram this week that she had already committed to living in Thailand this summer for a global research career opportunity. The 19-year-old acknowledged that declining the national title was a tough decision, especially since she'd been working towards it since the age of 12. But she also said she believes it's the right move, alluding to the circumstances that led to it. Although I do not know exactly what Nuella and Uma went through in that led them to resign, I am sending them immense love and support, she wrote. What I do know is that my core values are integrity, honor, kindness, and most importantly, I will always stand for female empowerment. I believe we all deserve the power to use our voices. Skinner, whose tenure ends in late June, doubled down in an interview with People on Tuesday. I believe one thing I will never give up is my character. Meanwhile, organizers are preparing to inaugurate the new Miss USA 2023, Miss Hawaii, Savannah Gankiewicz. They announced on Friday that Gankiewicz, last year's runner-up, will be crowned in a ceremony in her home state on Wednesday. Her dedication to empowering women through self-love and confidence is inspiring, and we look forward to her impactful reign as Miss USA, Layla Rose, Miss USA Organization CEO and President, said in a statement. Oh, Gankiewicz, who is Filipino, Polish, and Vietnamese descent, is a model entrepreneur and program director for What Makes You Feel Beautiful, a nonprofit dedicated to empowering women and girls based in Maui, where she was born and raised. In an Instagram post responding to the news, Gankiewicz says she hopes to use her short time as Miss USA to bring attention and focus onto the rebuilding of Lahaina on my beautiful island of Maui, which was devastated by a series of wildfires last August. She said her decision to accept the crown was not made lightly. I stand with Nuella and admire her strength to step down and prioritize her mental health, she wrote. Nuella, it was my honor of a lifetime to share the stage with you during your crowning moment, and I wish you all the best in your next chapter. So many Miss USA 2023 state title holders, including the now former Miss Colorado, have expressed public support for Voight by sharing an Instagram statement that asked the organization to release her from the confidentiality clause of her contract so that she is free to speak on her experiences and time as Miss USA. The statement, which says it has the support of the majority of members of the 2023 class, also asked for full transparency for contestants in the class of 2024 and beyond. Gankiewicz, who did not share that statement on her Instagram page, addressed her fellow Miss USA sisters in a separate statement, writing, I believe it's crucial for us to stand united for the future of the organization and the incoming class of 2024 and beyond. States have already begun crowning their respective 2024 title holders, a process that is slated to continue through early July. The winners from all 50 states in Washington, D.C. will compete at the Miss USA pageant in Los Angeles from July 27th through August 4th. The Miss Teen USA pageant will be held on August 1st. So this goes into more of the background of the organization and
all right. That. But there's been a lot of downfall with Miss USA, Miss Teen USA.
It's been tumultuous for like the last 20 years.
It has been, you know, what gets me and what gets me greatly is that I don't like confidentiality clauses in contracts. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't like it when they've been silent. You know, I've been silenced. Yeah. That reads weird to me, especially if you were to do it as a haiku.
Well,
but weird.
Yeah. Well, fundamentally, with the organizations, like the idea of the confidentiality clause, would be to generally prevent anyone from disparaging or saying anything negative about the organization, the pageants, the contests, the whatever, especially as a title holder.
Right.
But fundamentally, it goes back to the concept of if everything's so sunny in, you know, Miss USA, Miss Teen USA, why do you need one?
Right.
Like, I understand no one wants to have anything negative said, but I think we're right. entering a period in time in which the idea that the businesses have to exist under confidentiality clauses,
right,
that just never disparage our brand, is getting a little long in the tooth.
Right.
Because what it ends up doing is creating the perfect toxic environment, you know, this nice, shady, cool place where horrible things happen and no one is legally allowed to talk about them.
Right. Or face consequences. So, I think that that's very damaging.
Yeah. Like, I think the bigger message from all of this is this age of NDAs and confidentiality clauses. And quite frankly,
I think they're going the way of the dodo bird.
Well, I want to say thanks, Stormy Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of taken a porn star who had sex with a former president. To draw a lot of attention on how horrific these things are and how they're used and how they silence people and how they prevent people from being able to tell the truth about events that have occurred. Now, do I think Stormy Daniels is the perfect model poster child for this? No. But I think the interest level has held light for a while now. And I think as a generality of like generations, we're starting to see more and more that this isn't the world we want.
Right.
This, you must only talk positively about the company. You must never say anything bad about the company.
Right.
You are legally like embargoed from ever saying anything bad.
Right.
And I think we're generationally hitting a point that it's like, screw that.
Right.
Let's get real and let's quit protecting abusive people, whether it's sexually abusive, physically abusive, emotionally abusive, financially abusive. We don't play this anymore.
Right.
If you want to have a cool reputation as a company, get rid of the damn agreements. Right. And while I understand there are some executive things that you may need under an NDA, with upper management, like don't give away company secrets about like perhaps for Miss USA, how each contestant is specifically judged. Like, that's our secret sauce. I understand that.
But that isn't secret sauce. That's public information because it's on the score cards.
But wouldn't you think that would be their secret sauce? Not, no. Oh, by the way, we basically, you know, foster an environment of bullying.
Right.
And mismanagement.
Well, and a lot of mismanagement. And I've seen this in pageant after pageant after pageant. I loved my time in the pageant system. However, looking at the pageant, all the pageants, there's a level of bullshit. I really question why mental health. Like, I'm tired of that being the single most, this is what really happened. What happened here is my problem. What is going on with this organization that has been a standard within the pageant system? What is the clear boundaries occurring? Why are these women refusing a full paid college scholarship, which is what she would gotten if she had completed her ring, which is the whole reason most women do this?
Well, historically, yes. It was one of the greatest opportunities to get a full college scholarship. And you pick up some money for college along the way as you're getting each title. Like most of them, that's part of the prizing.
Right.
I think you do potentially have a situation in which at some evaluation, it's not worth it.
Right.
So what are you doing to Miss USA and Miss Teen USA?
Right.
That is covered under that confidentiality.
Right.
Like, how are you talking to them? How are you, like, setting their schedule for engagements? Exactly. What are you doing in your communications with them? Because that's what this sounds like it is. Mm-hmm. Is you're basically talking to them and being like, hey, dumb slut, you need to show up over here.
Right.
You know, you're not paid to think. Like, you've got to be doing some level of horrible mistreatement and bullying and, like, suck it up, you know, buttercup. You're going to show up here. What you're going to do, we own you.
Right. And if, like, that's the case, then maybe we need to, you know, this CEO who has been a problem to begin with this organization needs to resign.
I'm just saying that, like, this is the level of interaction that I would see would potentially be going on.
Right.
Like, in addition to, if you're making comments about her weight, you're constantly on her about her diet, you are constantly
on her, like, about her style.
It's like, it's a pressure cooker.
Right. Furthermore, why didn't you like this post? Why didn't you comment on it? Like, there's a number of obligations that this is becoming not what it was. And that has to come from the top. I do not like the bullshit statement. I do not like the limited statements they have put out. I think that there is something majorly wrong with this organization. And every Miss USA and Miss West Virginia, whatever, needs to be on the phone blowing their freaking socks off.
Yeah.
And standing in solidarity.
Well, and these are older organizations and older pageants. And I wonder how much of it is also suffering under the scrutiny, mm-hmm. or the pressures of, you know, a 24/7 news cycle world of a constant, always on and connected.
Right.
And, like, how much as an organization are you forcing on these women?
Right.
You know, like,
Well, not only that, but how much are you paying attention to these women? Do you have a social media person handling it? You know, in my mind, there should be a stopgap between social media and her. And here is her public social media. So that she isn't getting comments about, oh, that dress makes you look fat. Oh, that hairstyle makes you look, you know, or go kill yourself. You know, you're nothing but a Barbie.
Well, and yeah, how much are you paying attention to the comments?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I know they always say, don't read the comments. If you are the star, don't read the comments. It's impossible. Everyone reads the comments. The comments filter through. Even if you don't intentionally go read them, they filter through. And we are probably in one of the most volatile periods in history of public commentary.
Right, which and we love public comments. But I promise you, if I get on the next best psychic, my social media gets handed over to the joke because I'm not going to pay attention to it.
Or a social media coordinator, like we may hire.
Exactly.
Yeah. And go, one, don't tell him what the comments are. Like you're not gonna cause him to have a mental breakdown, but he might cause a few people. Because you really don't want him tackling the comments. Like, keep it light. But otherwise, even at that, you're doing public events and we're not dealing with the crowd they would have been dealing with 30 years ago.
No.
20 years ago. 10 years ago.
Right.
Like, a lot of things have changed in just the last 10 years.
Right.
In how we as human beings talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And the filter's gone.
Right.
Like, it's gone. And it's getting more aggressive and like within pockets. I'm not saying the whole world, but within pockets, it's getting more violent.
Yes.
It's getting more hateful. And it's getting louder.
Well, it is. And it's getting even more problematic.
Like things people would have been too humiliated to even think, let alone say out loud.
Right.
They now feel empowered that, like, I have a right to say it. And it's like, you may have a right to say it. I mean, legally speaking, freedom of speech, I'm all for that. But we also used to have some common decency and a damn bit of, like, forethought. Is this appropriate?
Right.
Just putting that out there.
Right.
But there's a, and especially surrounding women, there's become a very toxic dialogue in how we talk about women and the things that we think are appropriate to say.
Right.
When someone, you know, like you don't get a crown at Miss America or Miss USA or Miss Teen USA or Miss America or Miss Universe or whatever pageant you're doing. You get a bullseye. I'm sorry, that's where we're at. You get a bullseye painted on your back. It's not a crown, it's a bullseye.
Right.
So I feel horrible for them. I do. I sincerely do. The rhetoric that is, or the words that are said to them, I can only imagine are horrific. And then there's the internal portion of it.
And then there's the internal management of it, which is worse.
Yeah. Like, I'm sorry, you need to support these women. This is not the competition 30 years ago.
Right.
Like, you know, the media has changed.
Right.
YouTube exists.
Yeah.
Twitter and Instagram and all of the, and Facebook and all of this exists. These are probably some of the most dissected women in society, in addition to celebrities. And there's a little bit of understanding for general celebrities. Like you're a movie star, you're an author. It comes with the territory. You're getting well paid for this. I don't think there's a scholarship worth it.
Right.
Especially if you have no support and you're just the cash cow for this organization.
Right.
So that's my thoughts.
Well, and you know, my thoughts in general with this story is someone needs to be taking the reins. And, you know, I'm not liking what I not only seeing out of the organization, but out of past contestants. Like, I don't care what the scholarship is when that, when those issues were rained out and said, and I'm being silenced is being said, they should have had to go to number 59, number 50, contestant 51.
Okay.
Not the runner-up and the runner-up and the runner-up and the runner-up and the runner-up. Every one of them should have been a solid no.
Yeah. It should have been, this was the year that they went unrepresented. Unrepresented.
Right.
That, you know, the Miss USA, Miss Teen USA both resigned and ain't nobody trying to touch that crown.
Right.
Because that's going to speak louder.
Yes.
Is when you have a tradition this old and ain't nobody gonna touch it.
Exactly.
Like it is toxic, it is poisoned. You need to start figuring out how you fix it.
Right. And the board of directors need to immediately call a meeting and review the CEO and the business practices. There needs to be an investigation internally and externally about what's going on. Because when a representative like Miss USA and Miss Teen USA resign because of the handling of management, that tells you something's wrong. And it tells you something's wrong very fucking quickly.
Yeah, it does. All right.
All righty. So let's go and see if you're the asshole this week.
All right. Am I the asshole for making a teacher leave the district? My daughter's teacher, the lady is not even her personal teacher. She's just her after-school teacher, is leaving teaching and sent me an email on how she feels I am part of the reason because I asked her if she was mental and reported her to the principal for trying to help my daughter. I have two kids, 14 male, 6 female. Now, the 16-year-old isn't my biological daughter. Her bio dad is in jail for the worst crime a person can commit against a child, so him being in her life is not an option. Her mother is an addict and left her in my care after being in a relationship for 3 years. I've been in the life of the 6-year-old since she was 9 months old. Her and my son have always gotten along, and we have always had a very good family dynamic. Now, my daughter's school, the elementary school and middle school, is combined. My daughter and son were staying for the after-school program in different classes because I work late. Now, I always pack extra snacks for my daughter for days I pick her up late, but she decided to share some with her friends. So she was hungry and decided to ask a teacher to ask if her brother has any snacks because she is not allowed to leave the class. The teacher asked her brother, name my daughter tells her. She proceeds to ask my daughter if her brother is her cousin and tells my daughter that her brother can't be her brother because they have a different last name. My daughter tells her that's not true and tells her they live together, and the teacher decides to tell her that means I am not her father. Now, as a teacher, why would you have this conversation with another person's child? My daughter told me this, and after telling me this, I talked to the teacher, and she confirmed she said all this and said she felt like my 6-year-old daughter should know this. Even if my daughter should know, why would a teacher think it is her place to discuss that? Plus, what if I were her stepdad or she took her mother's last name? After my daughter asked me if I was her dad and was pretty distraught by it, I talked to the after-school teacher, and during our conversation, I got heated and asked if she was mental. Then I reported this matter to the principal, who was pretty apologetic for the situation and reassured me that they would put my daughter in a different after-school section to minimize interaction with the lady and my daughter. I let the matter go, but apparently the principal decided to actually suspend her or something, and she feels like she was unjustly punished and has decided to stop teaching. Am I crazy, or is this lady a very weird teacher?
No, you're not crazy. I would have blew a damn gasket. It's none of her damn business.
I think this was a horrible conversation to start with a 6-year-old over a very simple request.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think that could easily get lost in translation. Like, none of this mattered to the, can you ask my brother if he has any snacks in his backpack?
Right.
Or lunchbox or whatever. Can you just, like, that's it. That's all you had to do. That was the assignment.
Right.
Walk down a hall, go, hey, child, do you have any snacks that your sister can have?
Right.
Oh, you do? Cool, thanks. No, you don't? Oh, okay, well, that sucks, but thank you. Mm-hmm. Walk back to the classroom. That's it. Conversation over. Here's your snacks, or sorry, honey, he's out.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if you want to go the extra mile and work a little harder today, let me see what we got in the cupboard.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I assume there's a cupboard somewhere that has some things in it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, maybe you brought them yourself. Maybe the teachers all chip in. Maybe there's just a closet that whatever.
Right.
Throw a quarter at a vending machine. I don't care. If you wanted to go the extra mile.
Right.
But why start this conversation with a 6-year-old? Do you know how many 6-year-olds actually get the dynamics of a family tree? More to the point, why does it matter to you?
Well, and here's a deeper, more to the damn point. And let's see, I just noticed something. Alexa, turn on the entryway.
There you go.
Boy, I didn't help any. Sorry, guys, if I look like I'm a little in shadow, it is what it is.
Yeah.
The number of women in my life that started their first part of their name was Mama. Mama Josephine, Mama this, Mama that. Mm-hmm. The number of aunts that was in my life raising up. This woman would have been drove crazy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're not used to, like, Southern families, are you? Like, that's kind of where that goes, is, like, sometimes families are interesting.
Yeah.
Sometimes there isn't a relationship. Some, as in, not a clear, neat, pedigreed one on paper. Right. And it doesn't matter.
No.
This isn't your job. You're not the family tree police. You're not the genealogy police. Leave it alone. Leave it alone.
Right. But what visit is it of hers? Is my damn point.
Especially in the conversation they were in.
With a 6-year-old.
Yeah. Like, why? Why did it matter? Why did you even have to think that this wasn't something that can happen? Mm-hmm. Like, you've never met a woman who's been married more than once?
Right.
Like, that's a new concept for you, that somewhere between a 14-year-old and a 6-year-old, someone might have had a divorce?
Right.
That didn't seem to make sense? You didn't think maybe the kids have two different dads and just, like, you don't even want to go there?
Right. Now, let's take it even a step farther. Is he the asshole for reporting to this woman? No. This is not the behavior we need to be teaching our children.
Yeah, no. Well, you're definitely not the asshole for reporting it. I think that had no place in the after-school program or any classroom. To the specific, am I the asshole for making a teacher leave the district? I think you're neither the asshole nor the reason.
Right.
Like, she got called on the carpet because I think, much like we just talked it out, the principal is having the same response of, why the fuck did you even start this conversation? What did it matter to you? Why was this important? Why was this the hill of, you know, genealogical, you know, truthfulness that you decided to dial on today over a question about snacks? Like, really?
Right.
This is the hill you're going to die on today.
Right. And more apparently, this was not the first incident.
Hmm. Oh, that just icing on the cake.
Yeah.
So what other incidents were there?
I don't know. It just says edit. But this was not her first incident.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I'm just sitting here going, there's so many, many things wrong with that. Like, that's not interested in the child. That's not trying to teach the child. That is sticking your nose where it does not belong nor matter in the least.
Right.
And then becoming a hardliner for no other reason than to upset the apple cart of a 6-year-old for your own personal amusement.
Right.
Like, you don't belong in teaching if this is how you think that you're supposed to interact with a 6-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is, leave it alone.
Right.
Families are blended. we, you know, we are supposed to be well past this idea.
Right.
That, you know, at 18, you marry your high school sweetheart and you live happily ever after, having 2.3 kids and a dog.
Right.
And that's the only family there is. We're supposed to be beyond this.
Right.
Like, if anyone, I expect a teacher in a school system today to be pretty well versed in families a little more than this whole Dick and Jane book.
Well, not only that, but you know, that's today. Let's go back fucking 24 years, 26 years. There was cause and concern for you being Uncle Joe.
Oh, 26 years, honey. We're further back than that.
Well, I was trying to be nice.
No, let's be accurate.
Okay.
So that would be about 36 years ago.
Right.
There was cause and concern because I was Uncle Joe. And two teachers thought we were being funny.
Right.
That my nephew, who was 3 months younger than me,
right,
called me Uncle Joe. Mm-hmm. And our teachers both called our parents because they're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And there was a very terse conversation, I think, on both phone lines with two different teachers going, no, really?
Right.
My mom and I were pregnant at the same time, okay?
Yeah.
It's a fluke. I know it's weird. It doesn't happen that often. Kind of an odd thing to occur. You know,
not in West Virginia.
Well, but it's one of those things. It's not every day.
Right.
That, you know, you have a nephew and a child, or a brother and a child born about the same time.
Right. But, you know,
a little different. But
it didn't trauma. You didn't have this big discussion with a 6 year old.
Actually, they did.
Okay.
36 years ago, they kept trying to convince us to stop. That's the whole reason our parents got called.
Right.
Because that wasn't possible. Like, their brains wouldn't wrap around it.
Right.
We knew this. We were cool with this. We didn't have any problems with this. We understood.
Right.
We were good. Our teachers, worked their brain. Right. But they did the appropriate thing is they didn't really try to have the conversation too deep with us. Right. Other than to pass it off as like, I don't know what these kids are on. Like, have they been sniffing glue? Like, did we leave them alone? Like, what did we drop one? You know, like, what the hell? This is weird. And like, after they realized we weren't going to stop, the most appropriate thing I think you could do as a teacher at that point, go, okay, we'll just call your parents and let them sort it out. Lo and behold, they found out, oh no.
Right.
No, they're not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what the relationship is.
Yeah.
So, yes, my nephew and I went to the same elementary school. We started a year apart because of our birthdays. So I'm in first grade. He's in kindergarten.
Right. But again, it wasn't this traumatic incident and it wasn't this big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this became and should have never happened.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, if you want weirdness, if you want true weirdness, flash forward like 30 years.
Right.
I was sitting in a doctor's office with my grandmother.
Right.
And this woman just kept staring at me.
Mm-hmm.
And she finally says, I swear to God, I know you, but I can't figure out where from.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I know you, but I know you. And I said, well, okay. I said, ma'am, not to be rude, but I don't think I know you. And she goes, I just can't picture you. She said, I know you. You look so familiar. And I said, okay. So I just started asking, like, you know, general things. Like, maybe I just don't recognize this woman.
Right.
And so she starts telling me a couple of little things. And I go, you know my nephew. And she looks at me and she goes, what? I said, you know my nephew.
Uh-huh.
And so I named him.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, I'll work with him. She said, and you're right. You look like him. I said, yeah, we're related. Like, it's pretty, you know, like, we're not that related, but we're related.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we do have some similar features. Like, he's a good bit taller, but sitting down, I can see your...
Well, head. Yeah, you two have similar features, but you two get your features from your grandfather.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way that man could ever deny either one of you.
There's no way. Well, from my grandfather, his great-grandfather, basically.
Right.
So, yeah, no, we have similar facial features, a kind of similar build. We're, you know, like, it's one of those things. We were basically, for being, you know, uncle and nephew, were raised a little more like cousins.
Right.
Like first cousins. Right. In that, like, the cousin brother, where, like, you just throw them all in the playpen and, like, we'll sort them out later. Right. so there, like, there's, and we're similar in age, we're similar, you know, we have a lot of similarities. I don't think we look identical or so close, but I could see it as having that moment of like, God, you seem familiar.
Right.
Like, is there a reunion? Mm-hmm. You know, like, is there a family reunion going on?
Right. So the poll is up. You can vote whether he's an asshole for getting this teacher fired. He's not an asshole for getting this teacher fired. Everyone in the situation are shittier. Damn, that's a deal pickle, and it doesn't fit any of them.
There you go.
All right, so let's go over to some interesting relationship advice.
All right, so my husband makes no effort, and I'm contemplating divorce. My husband, 28 male, and I, 31 female, have been together for 10 years, and we have 3 kids together, 7 female, 5 male, 1 male. After my third child was born, I developed bad postpartum depression, and my marriage suffered from it. I began to notice how much my husband kind of sucks. I'm a stay-at-home mom, and he works long hours, but that's all he does most days. I do all the housework, the bills, the budgeting, the grocery shopping, the meals, the childcare, the appointments, the sports, all on my own, while juggling my own school load and mental health problems. And it's not like he tries to make me feel valued at all for all that work. He doesn't even acknowledge it. Never hear a thank you, ever. He just sees his own long days. My husband has never had to do a single thing alone with all 3 kids. And he gets mad if I complain about it. My oldest 2 children have ADHD, so they are not the easiest kids. He won't even take a half day to help me with doctor's appointments or sick kids. I just take all 3 everywhere I have to go. He doesn't ask how my day was or what I did all day, barely ask the kids about their day. I've been trying to communicate my unhappiness to him for a while now, and nothing happens. I tell him I'm lonely. He says, make some friends. I tell him I don't feel loved, valued, or appreciated, and he gets defensive, angry, and stonewalls me. I asked for weeks before my birthday for him to plan something for us. My birthday rolls around, and he didn't even wish me a happy birthday until I mentioned it to him. No gift, no plans. On our anniversary, no plans again. Mother's Day, I spent hours crying, and he didn't even check on me. He said he knew I was crying, but wanted to give me space. I'm just over it. I feel like my husband and I are only ever okay if I'm happy and okay. He isn't there for me emotionally. He shuts down and refuses to discuss things. I told him I perceive love through words of affirmation, and he won't do it. He just makes no effort with me, and no matter how much I ask for it, nothing changes. Anyway, I think after 10 years, I've given enough, and the blinding love I had for my husband is gone. I'm seeing more clearly now. I quit my job to raise our kids. I moved to a city where I have no friends or family because that's what he wanted, and I'm miserable. I started therapy 3 weeks ago because I just can't take how miserable I am anymore, and I think it really boils down to my relationship. So I think I want to ask for a divorce. I've been thinking about it a lot, and I think I'm ready. I just wanted to vent here and maybe get some advice on how to approach him or some encouragement from people that have been in this situation. My husband makes bare minimum effort with me or my, our relationship, and I think I'm finally ready for a divorce. Edit, I do thank my husband all of the time. I do nice things for him. His love language is physical touch, and he gets a lot of it. I appreciate that he works hard. I tell him I appreciate him regularly.
Get a divorce. Point blank, get a divorce. He's not listening. You shot warning shots across his bow many times. You've told him what you need. You've asked for what you need. You've asked to get it to go back to work. You've asked everything. Get a divorce.
I don't want to say that there's nothing bad in this marriage. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of bad.
Right.
I don't know that all of it, or most of it even, is unrecoverable.
Right.
I mean, it's a lot of bad. It's a lot of bad. I'm not going to deny that.
Right.
I think it is great that you have started counseling and that you are sick of his shit, as you should be. I'm wondering if there isn't an option here for counseling pending divorce. As in, your last shot across the bow is, we're going for couples counseling or I'm filing for divorce. Gonna tell you right now, I'm ready for divorce. So mm-hmm. you need to show up, step up, and do the work. Or we can just file today. I think that's everything that's left there. Because it almost sounds like it's one of those situations, like the husband has neglected this marriage. Clearly, sure. Obviously. And his wife and his kids. It doesn't sound like he has been the worst husband ever.
Right.
And theoretically could pull this out of the dumpster.
Right. Well, she's done this multiple times, and he changes his behavior for about 2 weeks, and then they're right back to where they're at again.
Yeah. Like, I'm not trying to force two people that don't want to be together to be together. I'm just thinking it almost sounds like what I read in all of this mm-hmm. is I miss the person that I thought I started this relationship with.
Right.
Because it sounds like there was a point where this was not a horrible marriage. Like, it's right. become one. I will totally grant that. It has become, right. after 10 years, a horrible marriage.
Right. Because
a nightmare. Like, I don't think she has postpartum depression. I think she woke up one day and realized the shithole she was in.
Well, I would agree. It's very much, I call BS. Relationship, I don't care, you got 60 kids. They take time, they take work, they take hearing the other person say, I want, I need. Mm-hmm. And if you can't do the symbols, mm-hmm. if I tell you plan something for our anniversary, you better come up with a plan.
Yeah. I mean, we don't have clear indicators here. Like, is there any local family? Like, is there an option to be like, call your mother,
mm-hmm.
ask her to watch the kids for a night. Like, not OP's mother, but I'm assuming if they move, maybe it's closer to his family than hers.
It sounds to me like they've moved for a job.
Right. But, like, yeah, nothing was really done to help with the situation.
Right.
I'm wondering about the long hours. Is this career or is it? I mean, I'm not trying to
exactly. $65,000 a year and three children. I would say it's him picking up as much overtime as he possibly can, which is understandable, but that comes with a cost.
Yeah. I mean, because I think that's part of the reality that no one wants to talk about right now, is that, you know, with stagnant wages and companies the way they are, they're not giving you money from, you know, without a fight. I mean, I'm afraid a lot of couples are hitting this point where, like, it, especially if they're single income, that, you know, dig your head in and just keep working and trying to hold on. I think a lot of marriages are going to end up here, where it's just burnout, stressed out on all sides. And it's like, if you want to know the biggest threat to traditional marriage, it's employment. That's where we're at. Like, you want to blow up a marriage, fuck around and find out at work. With, you know, consolidating roles onto one human being to the point that they, all they do is work.
Well, and understanding, you know, sometimes those long shift hours aren't worth it.
That maybe the writing on the wall is find a new fucking job. Get the fuck out. And again, that's where I'm like, I think like my best advice would be the, you know, we're doing couples counting or couples counseling or bust. You know, like, it's couples counseling or divorce, and I'm not guaranteeing couples counseling is going to do it. But this doesn't work. This isn't working. It hasn't been working. If you want any hope of salvaging this marriage and a relationship with your kids, we're doing counseling. Or we can just divorce right now. Because I think that's basically the biggest part of it. Again, I don't think this is an unrecoverable marriage. I think it would be a long, hard road, a lot of work he has to do in terms of getting back to being the person he ought to have been.
But, you know, what gets me is Mother's Day. Totally ignored it. Got her a piece of jewelry that wasn't even what she asked for. Didn't say, oh, you're not cooking tonight. Nothing. Made no efforts. All right. So, other advice from Shannon is, my husband took me for granted. I did, granted, for all the planning I did for things, till I made him start taking over some of it, and he straightened up after that.
That's where I'm kind of at, is I'm, again, this is a horrible situation to be in a marriage. I still think some of it could be recoverable, but he's going to have to make some changes and drastic ones. And, like, get on the family page and get off the work's wage slave page. Because this sounds like work-life balance run amok. Like, there is none. It's all work. There is no life. You don't know your kids. Your husband, your wife is at her wit's end. None of this is working.
You know, and, you know, pure honesty, after 56 hours, it's not worth it if you're counting overtime. Your taxes are eating up it.
Well, and then when you turn into look at productivity, generally, as you go over 40 hours, you start losing productivity. Like, there's a point in which there's no more work that a human being can do. Without doing, without the time it takes being worth less. But again, that's a bigger employment issue, which I think he needs to consider. What are you getting here? Like, get out. Please try to get out. If for nothing else, even if you go ahead and get divorced, even if everything else, figure out your employment situation for your own sanity.
All right. So Let's hop over and look at our poll. Dang, damn it. You are not the asshole again this week.
Woo!
Continue.
I may have had a hand in that and choosing the article. I may let you get the next one just so I can be the asshole, because that seems to be the trajectory you go for.
No, you always get dill pickle when I choose them.
You do choose some effed up ones where it's like, what the hell is going on here?
Uh-huh, very much so. All right. So we do want to take a moment to thank our lovely Patreons. They take care of us so well.
We do. So, of course, we want to thank Beverly Walker, Mika G, Kathy, Mary Winfield, Brenda, Joan Owens, Shannon C, Shannon D, Lady Gwendolyn, Charles Shaw, Tracy Van, Caitlin Bell, and Devin. If you'd like to learn more about us, the show, or how you too can become a Patreon sponsor and receive all the wonderful benefits our baristas receive, please visit us at pcspnetwork.com. And a special welcome to Joan Owens, our newest barista. Congratulations.
See? Even the baristas agree.
No, almost never is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys. I will see you Thursday night with Lady Gwendolyn. Of course, me and Drew will be back on Friday at 9 p.m. with Mountain Bears. Until then, have an amazing time.
Goodbye.